The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
Hello, we'd like to welcome you to another Message of Grace program. And the program that we tape here at the studio is brought to you by the people of Grace Bible Church. What we do is we get together, and as we study our Bible, we understand that there are some truths in the Bible that maybe you people like to learn about. Maybe you've never studied the Bible. My own testimony, I never really studied the Bible and until I got into Grace Bible Church. And they showed me what the Bible was all about. They showed me that this is the Word of God, and that when you study it, that you can learn things. And since I've learned something, I'd like to share something with you that I think is important in the Bible. And that doctrine, that topic, is thanksgiving. Giving thanks unto God, who rightly deserves thanks. In our lives here, even as we broadcast this program, we understand that there's a cable company that allows us to take the time up here in their studio. And we're real thankful to them so that we can get the message of God, the message of grace, out to you folks out there in your homes. And so if you've got a Bible with you, go ahead and grab a Bible and open up to Luke chapter 17. And we'll start in Luke 18. What we're going to do is we're going to look at thanksgiving. And first of all, we'll look at what thanksgiving is not. Giving thanks wrong. In Luke chapter 18, we'll start reading in verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Now the parable begins. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed this with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Now the point of the passage here is the Pharisee says, "God, I'm thankful to you. I thank thee that I am not as other men are." He thanked God that he was so good. Now, before we go any further with this, this man who's called a Pharisee, he was the man that in Israel's day, back in Bible time, that he was the one who would have gone to the doctrine, to the scriptures, to the scrolls, to tell the people of that land what to do and how to worship God. He was a righteous man in his own eyes, and he was the man that wore the long robes and did all the ceremonies that was required by the law of Moses. But one thing happened with the Pharisees is they began to interject their own tradition into the law of Moses, so that they began to study and to learn and to teach those things that they've made up in their own minds. This Pharisee now is praying and supposedly to God, and he says, "God, I thank thee that I'm not like this other man." So what he's doing, he's not thanking God, he's thanking himself for being so righteous. This other man, the publican, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to God, but he says, thank you for your mercy. And this is one thing, how not to give thanks. Don't compare yourself with other people and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not a rotten guy like this other guy over here. Now let's look at another situation right there in the book of Luke. We'll be in chapter 17. We'll start in verse 11. And in verse 11 it says this. This is Jesus Christ speaking. It says, and it came to pass as he, Jesus Christ, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And as he went, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now as we've read this passage, I want to go up through it again and kind of look at what's going on here. And the first thing is that there are 10 men, and the Bible says they're lepers. These 10 lepers, they have leprosy. And if you understand anything about leprosy, I know very little about it, but what it is your skin starts to deteriorate. Your body starts to rot while you're alive. And in Israel's day, in this time of the Lord, that they needed to do something according to the law of Moses. It was told them exactly what they had to do, how they had to live their lives. And it says there that there were 10 lepers which stood afar off. There in verse 12, they stood afar off. And what it said in the Bible, back in Leviticus, it says that they had to cover their lip, their top lip, and they had to yell, unclean, unclean, as someone else passed by. So that leprosy was highly contagious. They didn't want someone else to catch leprosy. So as these 10 lepers stood afar off, they yelled to Jesus Christ and said this, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So what they understand that this Jesus, they've heard of his miracles, they've heard who he is, and they call him Master. They want something from Jesus Christ. They say, have mercy on us. What they want is their leprosy to be cleansed. And when he saw them, when Jesus Christ saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, Jesus said this because that's in the law of Moses. The Lord Jesus Christ was born a Jew, born under the law. And what he did is he followed the law to the letter. He didn't break the law ever. So what he did is he told these lepers, as they were going to the priest, there was a reason that he told them to do this. And back in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1 says this, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, 2 birds alive and clean wood and scarlet and hyssop. And it goes down to tell us more things about this sacrifice to be performed by the priest. There was a ceremony that they needed to go through to complete this healing process. When he looked on them, he either pronounced them clean or the priest pronounced them unclean. So when Jesus told these people to go to the priest, he did it because that's what the law of Moses said they had to do. The Bible goes on to say in verse 14, and it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. So as they walked, they were cleansed. They didn't have to actually get to the priest already. They were already, that was a miracle. That was a miracle of God that they were cleansed from their leprosy. They didn't have the medicine or the technology to take and clean leprosy from a person in those days. That had to be the work of God Almighty. And that's where he had mercy on these 10 people. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. One man out of all 10 came back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, with a loud voice, glorified God. And I wonder if you're sitting there in your living room, can you think of one word or two words maybe that he might have yelled out to the Lord? Maybe, thank you. His leprosy cleansed. Here he's rotting away as a man, and he's just turning to ashes in a living form. And what happens is he's cleansed of his leprosy, and he is told to go to the priest. But before he gets to the priest, he wants to turn back to the Lord who healed him. And he wants to say, thank you for what you've done. Now, I say something like this here, and I get into a study like this, because in my own life, I have to watch that I say thank you. I have to watch, and I have to study to see how to give thanks to the Lord. And I don't have leprosy, but leprosy in the Bible is always a type of sin, and it shows something ugly and cancerous on you. And being cleansed from our sins because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, if you've never trusted that Jesus Christ died for you, you can do that right now before we finish this broadcast. You can believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And he made full and complete payment for your sins that you don't have to pay for them yourselves. So let's go on to the story, and we'll recap that later on. But a lot of times, giving thanks in my own life, as a husband, I find it very easy to take for granted certain things. And one of them is my wife. And she does things around the house like washing the floor, like cooking the dinners and scrubbing the oven out and all those things that I don't want to do. But she does those because that's her position in the household. But there's one thing that we can do, even though that's what's spelled out for a woman to do. There's one thing that we as men can do. If you're listening out there, maybe this will help you out a little bit around the house, is just to give thanks. Have you ever done something for someone? And I've recently moved, so a year or so ago, and a lot of people helped me out. I had a lot of stuff to move. And at the end of the move, I couldn't pay them all for what they've done, but I said thanks. And from now on, if any of those people move, I'll go and help them, as showing them a form of thanks out of my heart. But just to say thank you sometimes is plenty enough. If I know that I don't need to get paid if I help someone out, and a simple thank you is great. Even if they don't say thanks, I understand it. But saying thank you, like to a wife or to someone that's helped you out, I know at Grace Bible Church, where I've gone for the last 10 years, I was brought up there not knowing or understanding anything about the Bible. And when I got there, there was a man there named Pastor Tom Boucher who helped me understand the Bible. He didn't tell me what it said. He helped me to learn how to study it myself. And from there, we get into it and see what God wants us to do today. And giving thanks today is much the same as what they did in years ago, time past. There's principles that run all through our Bible that never change. God's holiness, giving thanks to God, all sorts of things. But looking back at our verse here now, in Luke chapter 17... it says, this man, in verse 16 there, it says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, if you understand anything about Samaritans and the Jewish nation back then, Samaritans maybe were mixed Jews, mixed with the Gentiles and part Jewish, part Gentile. The Samaritan had nothing to do with the law of Moses, nor of the commands of God. They were considered outcasts from the nation of Israel. So the Samaritans now, this man was considered a stranger to Israel. To the Lord Jesus Christ, this man was a stranger because Jesus Christ was a Jew, born under the law. He had to do everything according to the law. Now here comes this one man back, and I wonder if the other nine people were Jewish. I just wonder that. But he came back giving him thanks. If you look back, if you have a Bible there, look at the verse 15 at the end, and it says there, when he gave that loud voice, he glorified God. When he said thank you to the Lord, that gave glory to God. You know, there's a lot of people out there running around today saying glory to God or praise the Lord, and maybe just saying it out of repetition, maybe just saying it without meaning. When you give thanks to God, when you give thanks to the Lord, you glorify him. And that was the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here in his earthly ministry, to give glory to the Father. So when he gave thanks to God, that glorified him. When we give thanks to God, that gives him glory. You want to give glory to God today? Do you want to be useful for what God put you here on this earth for? Give him thanks. First be saved and understand what he did for you. You need to know that first and understand that. Then let's give him thanks for the things that he's done in our lives. The verses go on to say, And Jesus answering said, were not there 10 cleansed? He's talking to a man. Put yourself in this man's shoes now. You've just been cleansed from leprosy. And all of a sudden, 9 guys keep going off to the priest, and you turn around to say thanks to the Lord. And the Lord says to you, where's the 9? Where's the rest of the guys? I'd be speechless. I wouldn't know what to say. The Lord said, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, except this stranger. He's a Samaritan, and he's the only one out of the bunch that came back to give thanks to God, give thanks to the Lord. And he said to him, arise. While all this is going on, he's still on his face before the Lord. He's still down on the ground, worshiping the Lord as all this takes place. The Lord said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now think about this statement for a minute. Thy faith has made thee whole. The other 9 are still going off to the priests. And as they get to the priest will pronounce them clean or unclean through the law of Moses as they were supposed to. The Lord Jesus Christ says, didn't tell this man to go back to the priest. He said, arise and go thy way. Wherever you're going, just go. Your faith has made you whole. He was at the high priest's feet worshiping him. And he had faith in him. He gave him thanks. He knew who Jesus Christ was. And he gave him thanks. And he says, go your way. You don't need to go back to the priest now. Your faith has made you whole. And that's how we're to give thanks to the Lord. And I, like I say before, I like to go through the scriptures and to refresh things in my mind to see how I'm to give thanks to the Lord. And I see this man here and all the worship that he did, being cleansed from a physical thing. I mean, if this man were to die, if I'm to die, I understand by the scriptures that I'm going to be in glory. I'm going to heaven because I understand and I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. The Bible says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I thank God for that. But I need to refresh these things in my mind. Giving thanks to God. How can we give thanks to God? Well, in the books of the Apostle Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, who has our marching orders, if I can use that phrase, he has our marching orders for Christianity today. That's why we call this program the Message of Grace. And in Paul's letters, we find out that we can give thanks for everything. But first of all, he says in Philippians chapter 4, we talk about giving thanks when we pray with everything, with supplications and thanksgiving, make your request be made known unto God. When we pray, we thank God for the things that we have or the things that we ask for. Maybe we're giving thanks for a ministry. Maybe we have a ministry and we need to give thanks for the Word of God and that we can take the Word of God and communicate it to somebody else who needs to hear. We can give thanks for one another, the Bible says. That we can be thankful for the other brothers and sisters in the Lord, that when we're in need, they're there to help us out spiritually, maybe physically, when someone moves, like we said before, or if we're having trouble understanding a verse, or if we're going through some problems in our life, maybe we can go to a brother or sister and we can say, hey, I've got a problem. And the Bible says, weep with those who weep and sing and rejoice with those who rejoice. So we're to be helpful to one another and give thanks for one another in the Lord. We can give thanks, it goes on, for spiritual growth. As we grow spiritually and as we understand God's Word, we say thank you. We know the Lord a little bit better when we understand the Bible a little bit better. And we can give thanks. I think most of all in my life, every morning, be thanks for salvation. Thanks for taking that sin out of my life. Even if I had leprosy, I started to say this earlier, even if I had leprosy, and I died physically, I know that my soul will be saved eternally. So that the leprosy would have been an awesome, terrible thing to have in my body. But to know the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than anything that I could ever go through on this earth. The reason why, and I just thought up some reasons, why we might not give thanks to the Lord, and one of them might be we get too busy, we get too wrapped up, or we started to take things for granted. Maybe we're just too lazy, let's face it. Maybe we get too big-headed. The part of being right, like that other guy, that Pharisee that we talked about, And I'm not picking on the Pharisees back there as we went through the story. I didn't mean to pick on anybody, but what I want to do is use what the Lord gave us to show an example. I'm grateful that all my misdoings are not written down for generations of people to study and say, hey, look at what he did. I don't want that. So I'm glad that I'm not written down for that purpose. But when we have an example, we'll use it because it's the Word of God. So let's not get too righteous in our own minds. If we don't give thanks to God, he doesn't receive the glory that we could give him. In Romans chapter 1, we can look at some verses there. Romans chapter 1, remembering that we're studying thankfulness. And it says in verse 18, I'll read you a series of verses here. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him, the invisible things of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. The verse there, verse 20, says the invisible things of him, the invisible things of God, his power, his glory, his might, all those things that God has contained, all his attributes and all his emotion, everything is seen in those things that are made. The verse right here tells me this. Have you ever watched those science documentaries where they go to the bottom of the ocean and they, with these special cameras, see these little things that crawl on the sea floor? And it looks like midnight down there, and these little things light up and they reproduce, and there's so many different varieties, they don't know how many different varieties are down there. But God created all those things. The invisible things of God can be clearly seen by the things that are made, a bird, a tree, anything that might be out there in creation, in God's creation. A thunderstorm, have you ever sat and watched a terrible thunderstorm or a hurricane? God's power, that can't even compare to what God's power is. But God says those things that are invisible, that we can't see, are seen in the things that are made in the earth. And verse 21 says, because that, when they, people, knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. So what the Bible goes on to say, when people saw the things around them, they said, no, we won't understand that God made these things, but we'll sit and worship the creation. We see this animal here, this is a nice cow, or this is a fine tree. Let's worship these things, or let's make something out of these things, or let's worship man. The Bible says they weren't thankful to God for those things. And you know what I understand about being thankful or not being thankful? Is they weren't thankful to God for giving those things to them. If they didn't think God made them, why would they want to be thankful to him? They just sprung up out of nothing. But I know a verse in the Bible that says, in the beginning God created, and we start all things from there. A verse in Colossians says, all things were made and created by Jesus Christ. So we know that they didn't just evolve and just erupt out of nothing, out of a loud bang. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Remember what we talked about before, about giving glory to God, being thankful? Well, here's people recorded again in the book of Romans here. The Apostle Paul tells us they were not thankful, and being not thankful, they glorified him not. So as we go through our lives, we can be thankful to the Lord. We don't need to be like the nine that didn't return to Jesus Christ, to God, to be thankful to him. What we can do is, there are some verses in Colossians chapter 3. It says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, what would you want to give thanks to God for? Maybe you're out there, maybe you don't understand a whole lot about the Lord. Maybe you don't know about Calvary and what Jesus Christ did there. The Bible says, "For he hath made him," Jesus Christ, "it made Jesus Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took all the sins from Adam, since Adam sinned, the original sin there, since Adam sinned until whatever man eventually ends up to be the last man on earth, Jesus Christ took that sin upon himself, and he took it out of the way. The Bible says took all that out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So when he died, he paid for our sins. Now what we need to do, since our sins are paid for, it's not your sins that will ever send you to hell. The Bible does talk about hell. It's a real place. Your sins won't send you there, but not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior will. The Lord Jesus Christ only saves sinners. Here's a verse in 1 Timothy says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And the Apostle Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." The Apostle Paul, who gave us most of the New Testament, says, "I am the chief of sinners," and the Lord saved him. So if the Lord could save the chief of sinners and make him an example for all of us, I know that I can be saved simply by trusting in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And then we can be thankful, like that man that came back with leprosy and he said, "Thank you," to the Lord, and fell down on his face. Won't you take the time right now, whether you have a Bible or not, to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Thank you.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.